Hello, everyone, and welcome to Midnight Ghost Stories. I'm your host, Latasha Molidor, and I will be sharing with you my personal ghost stories and stories I've heard from my family members, friends, and other sources. I hope you enjoy. Tonight on episode 18, I'll be telling you about psychic abilities, mediums, and the different types of clairvoyance. I think it's so interesting to be able to have these gifts, and when you hear tonight's story, you'll see why I believe this person may be clairvoyant. I've been saying this to my older sister as well. I told her there are places she could go for help and learning more about the abilities she has and how to use them. But she has mentioned that she's a little scared of opening that door because she doesn't know what to expect. I respect that. But I believe at some point she may be ready. Before we get into tonight's story, let's talk about the difference between a psychic and a medium, and all the different types of abilities clairvoyance can have. Just keep in mind that I myself am not any of the above, so I'll do my best to describe them. So if I'm off on any descriptions, I apologize, but I think I got the gist of it. A psychic is someone who claims to have a sixth sense. They are able to provide readings regarding someone's past, present, and future. They can get their information based on the energy field that surrounds a person known as their aura. Because the aura contains information about a person emotionally and physically, this helps the psychic read a person's emotions, thoughts, feelings, purpose, inspiration, motive, and even their experiences. When I think of a psychic, I think of someone who is able to tell when something is going to happen in the future. They can read what has happened in the past or even what someone is currently experiencing. Mediums are also called psychic mediums, and this is someone who claims to be able to communicate with spirits, like that of someone who has passed away. So they are someone who is able to send messages from the deceased to a loved one or to a living being. So the difference is that a psychic is able to provide a wide range of psychic readings, and a medium is only able to hear and see spirits. Mediums use spiritual energies around someone to get their information while receiving messages from spiritual beings like the deceased, ghosts, angels, spirit guides, and other spiritual beings out of this world. Even though there are differences between them, mediums can possess psychic abilities, and psychics can possess medium abilities. So when I think of a medium, I think of someone who is able to see and hear spirits when others can't. They can tell you what they look like, what they're doing, and even what they're saying. I listen to the Night Owl podcast with their medium, Sarah, and also the Real Ghosts of podcast with their medium, Nicole. Both amazing shows based here in Austin, Texas. The mediums on both of these podcasts have incredible senses and connections with the paranormal. It's really cool to hear about what they are seeing when they're on paranormal investigations. Empaths are people who absorb other people's emotions. They have a strong ability to feel other people's thoughts, energy, and emotions. I actually know a few people who have mentioned that they're empaths and get really emotional when they're in places that have some type of paranormal or spiritual activity. Here are the clairvoyant types. Clairvoyance is clear seeing. This means that someone who is clairvoyant can see pictures that may either look like a movie or a still picture, like when they're communicating with spirits. As I mentioned on the podcast I listened to, lots of times the mediums will be calling out what the spirit is showing them, and to them it's like pictures or flashcards. Clairsentience is feeling or clear sensation. This means that they are able to pick up information through emotions, like they can feel the energy around them and get information from that. Clairaudience is hearing, so those who are clairaudient can hear voices or sounds that may be audible to others. Sometimes if it's a voice, they will sound different than the voices we normally hear. Claircognizance is clear knowing. This means that they can have the feeling of knowing something without actually having any kind of evidence or information that can back it up, but they can feel it. In other words, they can know something without seeing or hearing it. They just have a feeling. I think if I had this, it would bug me because I would need answers. Like, I would need to know why or how, know what I mean? But I guess you can't really choose what you have. Maybe you can, I'm not really sure on that. Clairgustance is clear tasting. They have the ability to taste things when there's nothing in their mouth. That one might be a little strange too. That's kind of weird, because what if it's gross? And clairalience is clear smelling. This is just what it sounds like, and seems to be a really common one, where a person can smell something that is obvious from the spiritual world. I hear a lot about people who can smell things like cigarettes, perfume, cigars, things like that, especially when it's a person close to someone that passed, and it's kind of their signature smell when they're around. What I want to do now is insert a clip from episode 10, The Ouija Board. If you haven't listened to that episode, I recommend it. It was a really fun episode and probably my favorite experience to tell. The reason I'm inserting this clip is because in the episode, I talk a lot about different senses people have, and I mention that a lot of them are mediums. I really feel like it pertains a lot to this topic we're covering tonight, and you can get a better understanding of examples of what people feel when they are sensitive to the paranormal. So, as I was calling out to Aunt Ruby when I got that strange feeling, the Ouija board kept pointing at the letters RU. And everyone thought it was asking a question, like, are you? And they were like, are you what? And it kept repeating, are you? And I started to get more nervous. And then it was like, are you? And then it would go next to the letter B, but it would hit a different letter. And it just kept going in circles. So I was nervous, thinking, oh my gosh, is it trying to spell out Ruby? So at that time, the women with the planchette said that it felt like there were multiple spirits pulling the planchette in different directions. So that's when I really started to think, I think that it's trying to spell out Ruby, because it's like people were fighting over it. And this was going to be the last person that we were going to communicate with. So to me, I was just like, is Aunt Ruby trying to push her way through before the seance is over? You know? Right after that, two people in the back said that they smelled cigarettes, and they said it was really strong, like somebody just opened a brand new fresh pack of cigarettes. Aunt Ruby was a chain smoker, so my anxious feeling got so overwhelming, I raised my hand and I said, can I ask a question? And they said, yeah, go ahead. So I asked, Aunt Ruby, are you here with me now? And the Ouija board immediately shot to yes. They asked me if I wanted to ask another question. I got very emotional at this point. I choked up. I was barely able to get my words out. And then I asked, Aunt Ruby, are you upset that Tamora and I didn't make it to your funeral? And I had tears coming down my face, and the Ouija board shot straight to no. So what was crazy about it was sometimes when the Ouija board would move, it would be really slow. And then other times it was just like immediate, like moving pretty fast. I sat in the front row, so that's how I could see all this, because I didn't want to touch the Ouija board, but I really did want to see what was going on. So I made sure to sit pretty close so that I could look at it. And after the Ouija board said no, I started crying. Like, I was bawling so hard. One of the ladies who had her hands on the planchette, she told me, she says, it's just a party, child. So I took that as her saying, it's okay that we weren't there. We didn't miss anything. My last question was, Aunt Ruby, am I wearing your dress tonight? And the Ouija board said yes. And I told everyone in the room that I had her dress on. At that point, everyone in the room said that they could feel her warmth and her love. Another lady from the table said that her leg hurt, and she reached down and was grabbing her leg. And she was like, man, my leg is hurting. And she said, did your aunt have any problems with her legs? And I said, yeah, I think so. I confirmed later that night with my mom and grandma after telling them what happened. I asked them about Aunt Ruby, and my grandma said that she did have blood clots in her legs, and she was in pain all the time. So I remembered that, but not, I mean, everything was just happening so fast that I couldn't really remember exact details, but I was pretty sure that Aunt Ruby did have problems in her legs. So when the girl said that, I was like, this is her, this is real. And then two of the women at the table said, that she told them, here, child. And they felt warm, like she was giving me a hug. So they reached up and like
said, she's trying to hug you right now. And they were like, I don't know what hear child means, but she said it to me in my ear, like I could hear her. So she was literally talking, and these people that were at the table could hear her. And then I found out that the four women that were participating with the Ouija board are practicing to be mediums as well. So that's why they had so much, so many senses going on. They were really strong. One girl, she kept feeling things touch her. So it was just, it just made me realize at that point, like, this is actually happening. And that's what that feeling was that I had when I felt my energy change. So I then thanked Aunt Ruby, and I thanked the host, and I, you know, told Aunt Ruby, thank you for communicating with us, and I told her that I love her, and the session was properly closed with another ritual.
Now for tonight's story, my ghost stories. I started seeing ghosts when I was a kid. First memory I have is going to an elderly neighbor's house with my mom when I was about 5. As we were walking to her house, I saw this elderly man standing in her garden. He smiled and appeared friendly. My mom walked on by him without saying a word. He never said anything either. I thought it was strange, but I didn't say anything. We got inside the house and were chatting with the neighbor when I saw him in the hallway to the living room. He was watching us and smiling and not saying anything. I saw a photo of him in the living room with the neighbor lady, so I figured he must live there. Still, I noticed no one looked at him or said anything to him. Finally, the curiosity got the best of me and I said, "Who is that man in the hallway smiling and looking at us?" My mom and neighbor said no one was there and looked at me confused. I said, "The man in the picture is standing in the kitchen smiling at us and no one is saying anything to him." They told me that that was impossible because that was her husband, Bud. And Bud died 2 weeks ago. And that was why my mom came to visit her. Second time was when I was visiting my uncle's house. He and his wife had just gotten a waterbed, which was popular at the time. He was showing it to my mom and me. As we walked up the stairs to their bedroom, I saw this man who appeared to be in his late 20s, early 30s, sandy blonde hair, wearing only boxer shorts, pacing back and forth in the upstairs hallway. We walked right by him, and again, no one looked at him or said anything to him. I was the only one who looked. I thought that it was strange. He continued to walk back and forth on that strip of hallway, outside the door, and even looked in the room at us a few times. Again, I was curious about what was going on, so I asked my mom and uncle, "Who is the man walking around the hallway?" They looked confused. My uncle said, "No one should be here. Let me go look." He comes back a few minutes later and said he saw no one. I said, "He's still outside the door." My uncle got quiet for a minute, sighed, and said, "Well, he's harmless then. Don't worry about it." My mom, even more concerned, asked my uncle what he meant by that and what was going on. My uncle then said that my cousin, who is the same age as me, had also reported seeing a man in their house. My uncle said he would tell my mom more about it when we went downstairs. They made me play outside while they talked. I found out years later from my mom that my cousin, who also saw the man, was not believed by his parents at first, and that it was nothing other than an imaginary friend. That was until my cousin started saying that the man lived in that house and wanted to know why we were there. My aunt took him to a psychologist and everything. She eventually did some research on the house and discovered that a man in his early 30s had committed suicide in that house in the early 80s, a few years before they bought it. Also, when my cousin's younger brother was old enough to talk, he also began reporting that he too saw the man and was absolutely terrified of him because he said he would come into their room. He was so terrified he didn't want to sleep by himself. He refused to sleep in his bedroom. Another ghost sighting happened a few years later when I was about 8 or 9. My brother and I used to play near a creek in the backyard. Across the creek was an old house. This kind-looking old man would come outside the house and watch us play, but never say a word to us. He seemed to really enjoy watching us play and didn't seem weird at all. He seemed to be a genuinely nice guy. He had white hair, was very fair-skinned, skinny, and always wore the same dress clothes, a button-up beige dress shirt, and dark brown dress pants and dress shoes. The thing that made me begin to feel uneasy was the fact that my outgoing brother never acknowledged the old neighbor man. He never looked in his direction nor said a word. See, I didn't notice the first few times we played back there, and never thought anything weird because the man seemed harmless. One day, I finally got the courage to ask my brother if he saw the man sitting there on the porch. We were very close to the house, so he could clearly see anything that was there. My brother looked up and around and asked me if I was messing with him and trying to scare him. I couldn't believe it. There the man was, clear as day, and yet I was the only one who saw him. I told my brother I was going back to the house and he should come with me. He didn't. So I went to the house and asked my mom who lived in that house. She said that no one had lived in that house for years. I told her about the old man, and she said to get my brother and not go back there until my dad checked it out. I never saw him again. The story doesn't end there, though. It gets even more creepy. A few years later, a family moved into that house. We made friends with the two girls who lived there. One day, the oldest girl told us that their house was haunted. They said they heard their cabinet doors in the kitchen open and close at night sometimes, and no one would be there, and the light switches would turn on and off. She said that her younger sister said she saw the ghost and described him as an older gentleman, and said his name was Frank and that he lived in that house. The family eventually moved away not too long after that. Years later, I was walking with my grandma to the cemetery above our house, and she commented that this grave we went by was that of the neighbor who used to live behind our house. He died in the 1960s when my dad was a baby. According to his tombstone, he was 62 when he died. His first name? Frank. I asked my grandma if he was a fair-skinned, white-haired, slim-looking man, and she said yes, and asked if I'd seen a picture of him. I told her the story. It creeped her out too. Much experience when I was at my first job. I was 19 and working night shift at a house, taking care of severely disabled people who couldn't talk, walk, or do anything on their own. I was washing dishes when I looked up and saw who I thought was my coworker walking into one of the clients' rooms to check on them. I wanted to speak with her, so I followed her into the room, and there was no one in there but the client who was sleeping in bed. I looked out the window of the room and saw my coworker outside fixing another coworker's car. They were both outside. I honestly wasn't paying close attention to the woman I saw who walked into that bedroom. I just noticed she had short hair and was about the same height as my coworker. When my coworker came back inside, I told her that I could have sworn I saw her walk into that bedroom. So I followed her and no one was in there. I thought I was losing my mind. My coworker looked at me and said that what I saw wasn't unusual, or I wasn't the first person who claimed to see a woman in that house. Apparently, that place had been the scene of a double homicide many years ago. A man and a woman were shot to death while they slept in their bed. Many people apparently have reported seeing what they believe to be the woman's ghost. Just judging by this story, I feel that this person and even their relatives are definitely sensitive to the paranormal. They even had a lot of comments from people telling them that they think they may be a medium. I'm not sure which category my sister would fit in, but I do know for years she has been able to see spirits and she can usually tell when something is going to happen before it does. Or she even has been able to tell when something is wrong without even being told. I believe a person can have several of these abilities too. Oftentimes, these categories can all be confused with one another. Some people will say someone is a psychic or a medium, thinking it's the same, but there are some differences. It's interesting to know the different types and different abilities they can possess. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Midnight Ghost Stories, and thank you for listening.
That
That's it for this episode of Midnight Ghost Stories. If you have a story to share, please send an email to midnightghoststoriespodcast@gmail.com. It will be read on the show, or send in a voice recording to be played on an episode. Also, be sure to follow us on Facebook at Midnight Ghost Stories and Instagram at Midnight Ghost Stories Podcast, and subscribe and download on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and Anchor. Tune in next time for another episode of True Creepy Ghost Stories.